back to the Gospel Sports Truth Podcast. We cannot wait to talk fantasy with you today. I'm your Jose, the Fantasy Football Fiend, and I have my guy, your guy, Young Vander, the Fantasy Nostradamus. Holla at the people.
Hey, what's going on out there, man?
Yo, so today is going to be a great day for fantasy. We're going to talk a little detailed as far as rookies are concerned, give you a little bit of a overview before we see where they go, and then we'll kind of have a better outlook once we see where they get towards the end of next month. But between now and then, we'll go through several teams kind of eyeing who needs what and keeping track of the news that's going on. That's going to be a lot of the show today, just kind of getting a feel for where teams are going. And we'll give you a little bit of a preview of where our mind is on some of the current guys being spoken of as far as your higher draft picks. And then there's a couple of, you know, sleepers and things of that nature we'll get to as well. With that being said, remember, go ahead and check us out on YouTube at The Gospel STP, on Facebook at The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. Let's go ahead and hop right in. So, a couple of things that went down today. Russell Wilson is joining Big Blue. So Russell Wilson has agreed on a one-year contract per Adam Schefter to play for the Giants this coming year. For me, this was, I kind of saw this one coming. Remember, he's married to an entertainer. If you can't play where you want to play and New York is on the table, for her sake, it makes all the sense in the world to go to New York. So, yeah, I can see this working out a couple different ways. If they do, and remember, they also got Jameis Winston. So if they do go the route of drafting a rookie and just bringing them along gingerly, there's something to be said for that. And they give that rookie a little bit more time as they rebuild that offensive line. But if they decide not to draft a rookie quarterback, which they're not pigeonholed into that at this point because they have two guys that are serviceable. But do we think this is a Band-Aid? Do we think between Wilson and Winston that they have a guy for the next couple of years? Is this fantasy relevant at all for guys such as Neighbors? And, you know, you got Tracy coming out of the backfield. Like, how are we feeling about this move in general for Big Blue?
Well, I'm thinking they pretty much have stamped their flag. I'm not saying if they're not going to draft a quarterback. But at this point, I don't see getting two stopgaps or bridges. It don't make sense. I mean, if you get Jameis, when they signed Jameis, I was thinking, okay, this still may take Shador at three and let Jameis become a mentor. But then you bring in Jameis and Russell, you still have the veto in the quarterback room as well. Why go get another guy? Like, he got to be the third string guy you bring out. It doesn't make sense. Also, this move to me, I think, is, you know, they probably going to go after a guy like Travis Hunter with that first pick. I don't see them bringing a quarterback, especially not in the first round. I think they already, you know what I'm saying, they're going to roll with Russ. And as far as fantasy relevance, I think it is. I mean, this is good news for Neighbors. Many people might not know, but Russell was like the number one rated quarterback throwing over 20 yards. So Neighbors, Slayton, guys like that, I mean, they may see a, they will see a boost. I mean, consider what they've been used to playing with, right? So, fantasy-wise, I like it.
That also tells me that we have a – I don't know if you can label Russell Wilson as a sleeper, but this is a guy that's not going to be drafted early just because the name is no longer sexy. But if you give just about any quarterback Neighbors and Travis Hunter as you're projecting, it's going to be difficult to not put up fantasy points.
Yeah. I mean, and being all honest, he has a better OC. Arthur Smith, I mean, and Russ didn't play terrible last year, but
he didn't.
I think he's going to be in a better opportunity as far as succeeding at the quarterback position.
So this almost pigeonholes another quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, because the Vikings, actually, let me start out by saying, do you feel like the Vikings have given J.J. McCarthy the QB1 spot sight unseen, or Do they have something else up their sleeve as far as a possible stopgap if they want to give J.J. McCarthy a year to kind of learn the position? If that isn't the case, then that means that the only team out there, barring injury, that I can think of for Aaron Rodgers is going to be Pittsburgh, unless his agent, you know, sweet talks the Colts, and they have Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones, and Aaron Rodgers, which Aaron Rodgers, I believe, would be the best out of that motley crew, if you will. And he would have a decent set of wide receivers, a nice offensive line, a good running back, a decent defense, all that kind of good stuff, a winnable division. So that there are a few things in there, but how do we think that this J.J. McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers situations are kind of tied to each other? So how do we think that ends up working out?
In the next few days, I'm looking for Pittsburgh to go ahead and sign Rodgers. I'm thinking he's going to be the quarterback there. I think McCarthy will be the guy in Minnesota, but they're probably going to sign a veteran to back him up. Maybe like the names of likes of guys like Ryan Tannehill, maybe even a Carson Wentz. You may see guys like that names pop up, I think, that would probably be bought in and to have that veteran in the room. But I think it's JJ's team. So I definitely see Rodgers signing with the Steelers.
How high do you see him going as far as being drafted once it is solidified that he's going to be the guy? Is he still going to be drafted around the same area where Sam Darnold was? Or did Sam Darnold kind of make it as such that people are going to think, no matter who's throwing the rock, pick that guy when that guy, whoever that guy is, has those receivers?
No, I think he'll be drafted. I mean, of course, in the one quarterback league, he won't be drafted likely. But as far as in a two quarterback league, he'd probably still be between 22 to 25. I think the ranked quarterback available, you know what I mean? If that makes sense, I think he'd be still in that range because he's still a rookie, still a young guy. And we've seen a lot of guys take, you know, bumps up as far as their landing spots. So I still think he'd be in the mid-20s as far as quarterback rankings.
Moving on over to wide receiver. Stephon Diggs is heading to New England. I got to be honest with you, man. I haven't seen New England make this many moves that just make common sense in I don't know that I've ever seen an offseason that I'm this proud of as a New England Patriot, to be honest. I just, everything that we needed, we attacked. So now at pick four, we can just go with best on board, however it falls, and be fine. And if your prediction is true and Hunter is gone, I believe we actually would go best lineman on board and go ahead and get that offensive tackle to kind of
guard
Drake May. But the fact that we were able to go out and get a number one wide receiver in Diggs, I've stated several times over that we already have several number twos, definitely have a slot receiver in Pop Douglas. Don't exactly know that we're solidified at running back, but we could be worse. And that's not the most difficult position to fill. So with Stephon Diggs now taking on a 3-year, $69 million contract, including a $26 million guarantee, that basically means that New England has him for 3 years on the cheap. And close to half of his salary is being paid up front. So if we aren't a good fit for each other, this pretty much sounds like, honestly, a 3-year deal for New England, but a 1-year deal for Stephon Diggs. Because if it isn't a good fit, there really isn't much of a dead cap penalty to be spoken of based on the way they worked out the contract. So you give Drake May a number one wide receiver. You then make, I feel, the other wide receivers even better because they're in their natural position versus going against the upper echelon of corners. What does this do as far as you're concerned for Drake May? What does it do for Stephon Diggs? And who do you feel ends up taking that wide receiver two spot for the Patriots? You know, you have Kendrick Bourne, you have Jalen Polk. You have Javon Baker. You have, what's my boy? Trying to think of the, can't even remember the other guy's name. It's several dudes that could possibly take over that spot. But what are your thoughts as far as the current moves made in New England? What does it do as far as fantasy is concerned?
Okay, firstly, of course, things look a lot different in New England because Bill's not there, right? So now it's actually being ran like a real NFL team. You don't have somebody that's thinking they're this genie and I can find a starter in the sixth round in this draft and, you know, those type of things. Kraft is finally going into that wallet and spending some money, right, for a change. As far as, I'm going to jump around a little bit. So as far as who's going to be the number two guy, that's, I'll take you back to the Batman movie. Remember when Joker, it was some goons at the end. He's about to leave. He took the stick, broke it, and threw it down. Like, okay, it's going to be one of those things. They're going to break some sticks up, throw it down, and whoever fight to the death and whoever's remaining will be the number two guy. Because at this point, whether it's Baker, Bourne, Pop, we're popping the slot. But
yeah,
as far as Baker,
kind of broke out a little bit. Was it Kayshawn Boutte?
Even him, right? All these guys are pretty much.
Mac Hollins, Kendrick Bourne. Mac Hollins was the other guy that came in.
Right.
Javon Baker.
All these guys are even.
Polk.
All these guys are even. So we're going to break this stick up, throw it on the ground, and who will fight to the death, they'll be the last man standing. That'll be the number two guy when it comes to that. The thing is this as well. Let's watch what Cleveland does in this draft, because if they go Shedeur Sanders at two, I think y'all end up with Abdul Carter.
Yeah. That's right. So it's set up perfectly for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Unless.
And if they take Abdul Carter, I think it end up with Will Campbell, the lineman. So I think y'all in a nice little spot, being that y'all made the moves and kind of like solidified.
Well, no, I think if they take Abdul Carter, the Giants may still take their quarterback of the future. And then 9 times out of 10, we go ahead and take Hunter and be.
No, they're in front of you. I don't think the Giants take a quarterback. Don't see why they would.
You think so? Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying they won't, but I'll be surprised. Again, why would you gave Jameis, what, 2 years, $8 million? Then you turn around, you gave Russell.
That ain't no QB money.
No, it's not. But okay, you gave him 2 years, $8 million, and then you gave Russell 1 year, $10 million, with up to 21.
The two of them together ain't QB money.
Where 1 year, 21 with like $10 million guaranteed. Right. But at the same time, you brought DeVito back also in the offseason. You gonna have four quarterbacks on the team?
Well, I think it feels like what they did was they hedged their bet because they don't know what Cleveland is gonna do at number two. Pretty much everybody knows what the Titans are gonna do at number one. And I don't believe they would take the third quarterback off the board at that spot.
Right.
So if they can get their QB of the future, have Russell Wilson kind of tutor him for a year, and then have Jameis Winston be the backup going forward in general, I actually think that's a sweet spot. You aren't rushing your rookie. You aren't carrying an elder statesman long term. And then Winston is your guy that isn't young but isn't old. So he can help your young guy come along, but he isn't necessarily a threat as well. So I kind of feel like this was because I don't know what Cleveland is going to do at two, I want to make sure that if my QB is gone by the time three comes around,
okay,
I'm still okay.
Okay. I guess that's possible. I didn't see why, like, invest in Russell. But, I mean, you're looking at it that way, I mean –
But if it's 1 year, how much of an investment is it really?
But are you bringing Russell in? So you bringing Russell in to be the starter, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So you're thinking draft Shedeur and let Shedeur just have a red shirt season?
Yeah.
As the third string?
Correct.
I've never seen a rookie quarterback drop.
No. He doesn't have to be a third string. He can be the second string.
So why you brought Jameis in to be the third string?
Because I want him to be my guy long term. As far as the backup is concerned.
So you're going to sign him a year early.
Most going to have three quarterbacks anyway. You wasn't going to get much cheaper than that.
Sign Jameis just a year early just so he could be the backup in year two.
No, well, yeah, because I didn't know. I didn't know where Russell was going to go. Russell had options.
Yeah, but why sign Jameis? That's what I'm saying. That it don't make sense.
Well, you have to have three quarterbacks, right? So if you have to have three quarterbacks and you now have Russell and Winston, why not go ahead and draft your
I mean, team? That third quarterback is on the practice squads. Some teams don't carry three quarterbacks on a Sunday.
And I wouldn't necessarily, again, Winston would be my guy that's the emergency guy. I'm not going to, I'll put it to you like this. If I'm the Giants GM, I don't think I've solved my QB issue by bringing in Wilson and Winston. Mm. I just have two guys that I can be okay with trotting out there.
Mm.
So my thing is, I would want to give my rookie that year to get himself together anyway. And I would also want to give my GM another year to get this offensive line together. Because no matter who the rookie is or the vet, they better be pretty decisive because they aren't going to have very much time in the pocket. So, I mean, I don't see how Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston means that you don't want a quarterback. It just, I mean, both of them are just stopgaps at this point.
But you don't need two, though. That's all I'm saying. Why do I get two stopgaps, two bridges?
Because I don't think that they thought that Russell Wilson was a guarantee. And now, because they don't know, again, what Cleveland is going to do at number two,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't want to go, this is what I'm thinking. They didn't want to draft Dart, who is probably the number three quarterback off the board, at number three. Now you have options.
I dig it.
So we'll see how that goes. But Brandon Cooks is back with the New Orleans Saints. So where do you think he ends up fitting in? Is this now a good problem to have for Derek Carr, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Brandon Cooks? A pretty decent trio, if you ask me, as far as wide receivers are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
How are we feeling about Brandon Cooks? He really, the only team that he went to and didn't put up a decent amount of yards has actually been Dallas. Prior to that, just about every stop, he was a 1,000-yard receiver and, you know, 5-6 touchdowns. So is Cooks in a position where you can get him for next to nothing and he's a little better than a dart throw, or is he just kind of there for the sake of being there because they needed another wide receiver and he was available? Like, how are we looking at Brandon Cooks?
It wasn't Kellen Moore was the OC when Brandon Cooks was there in Dallas that first year?
Yeah. He did pretty well.
I'm mistaken. So I want to say maybe he has some familiarity with offense and maybe that's why he was bought in. But I'm cool with Cooks. I mean, he's kind of the Rodney Dangerfield when it comes to wide receivers. I mean,
agreed.
He tends to, you know, when healthy, he tends to play pretty well in most places. So you're getting up there in age. So I guess he comes in, somebody that's familiar with the offense, also a veteran that can coach some of these younger guys up on that team. So it's a benefit. I mean, killing more offense, I think it's a benefit. I don't think it helps Olave per se, but I'm kind of off Olave at this point. And I think if you got Olave, you should move him at this point and go another route. I mean, just the offense that he's going to be in, and I'm good on that. I'm good with Olave.
Michael Gallup, once retired Michael Gallup, he is now a Washington Commander. So he unretired and went on across to the enemy, if you will, the rival of his longtime team, the Dallas Cowboys. Michael Gallup is actually only 29 years old. And unlike with running backs, wide receivers tend to have a little bit of a longer lifespan. And it's not like Michael Gallup wasn't a good wide receiver in this particular offense. And the way the wide receivers are set up, he would probably at this point be wide receiver three, looking at McLaren and looking at Debo. And then Michael Gallup, if they don't bring in anybody else, that would kind of be the trio that would be trotted out there. How are we feeling about this setup? Now, they do have Noah Brown. They have Luke McCaffrey. They also have KJ Osborne. Is this just a feel-good story? Do we feel that he's going to end up being the better wide receiver and end up trumping Noah Brown, Luke McCaffrey, and KJ Osborne? Or at this point, do the Commanders have enough receivers that really whoever they put out there is going to be a dart throw on who has the better game, if you will?
Yeah, I don't think this will be – this is a depth move. He may not even make the final team.
Okay.
So this is going into camp, you know what I'm saying, have some receiver depth. I mean, they still got Terry. They got Luke McCaffrey, who they drafted last year. Like you said, they brought in Noah Brown, re-signed KJ Osborne. Mm-hmm. They still have Chris Moore on the team. So there's a lot of guys there. The room is pretty filled. And in my opinion, I think Michael Gallup is a bubble guy, probably a cap. Well, not cap, but he's one of those roster bubble guys. I can see him getting cut before the season starts. So no fantasy relevancy at all when it comes to this guy. So,
okay.
Feel good story, yay, for now, but he's not going to be winning any games.
Let me ask you this. Would he be a guy for dynasty players?
No.
That if you grabbed quickly, we know news is currency, did you shop him to a Cowboys guy that kind of knows him a little bit better than others for maybe a third, fourth, depending on how your rookie draft is set up?
I think you should that day one. I think it's too late now at this point.
Okay.
Maybe that time has came and went. I'm one of those guys that work the wire pretty heavily. And right. I got based on news. And then at that point, yeah, if you want a shot, I beat you to him. You want him, that type of deal. Maybe you can throw him in a deal that you already had that was pending. But I don't think at this point anybody's going to be really biting at that apple at all.
And that pretty much wraps it up for the news and notes. Let's go ahead and hop into our overview, kind of looking at some of the rookies that are out there. And this is in no particular order per se. I'm just looking at a few of the rookies that are out there who have kind of grabbed a little bit of attention and best fits, things of that nature. The number one running back out there right now, or the running back that everyone kind of has in their mind's eye, is been the best of the bunch, is going to be Aston Gentile, the running back of Boise State. 1,900 total yards as a sophomore, 2,700 yards as a junior. Elite contact balance. He works through contact well. He's one of the guys that are probably, I would say, one of the higher rated running back prospects. Probably the only other one in that same arena as of late is probably Bijan Robinson. But Genty showed his ability to be a receiver as well. It's a possibility that he could be a top 10 draft pick. Definitely he'll be a top fantasy pick. Whether he goes number one, number two, three, four, however that may go, it's going to definitely depend on team needs in your dynasty drafts. But what's your outlook on Genty? Is the hype real? Does it all depend on the team that he goes to? Where are we kind of at on this guy?
No, the hype is definitely real. And being, the teams that's going to be running back needy, that's picking at the top in the real draft, Genty is pretty much the number one pick in dynasty leagues, in my opinion. So he'd probably be, 1-1 in most leagues. I mean, if you need a quarterback, maybe somebody be inclined to take a award or something. But, Genty the number one guy. And I think he's going to be. And all these things also depends on location, where they fall to. So with the Raiders being a team that people's thinking Genty may go to, I think that's, a great spot. And if he does go there, again, he should probably be the number one pick on the board. In redraft, this guy is going to be probably ranked top six or seven in a redraft league. So that's how high people are on Genty. as far as this season goes. So if you want to get more of an idea of what we're talking about, in a redraft league, he's probably a top seven back. So there you go. That's how people feel about him.
You other running backs throughout there. Omarion Hampton, running back out of North Carolina. He's basically carried the North Carolina offense for like 2 years. And that was including when Drake May was still there. Two straight years of 1,500-plus rushing yards, 15 TDs, solid receiving. He's a shifty runner. He can hit home runs. He showed his athleticism. I'm in the combine. I ended up with a 4.48 40-yard dash and a 38-inch vertical. He has lead back potential depending on the scheme. You also have guys like Trevion Henderson out of Ohio State, who is – I kind of look at him as akin to a Alvin Kamara type of back, where he can catch out of the backfield, he can block, he's fast. He had a speed of a 4.4 as far as the 40-yard dash was concerned. So definitely intriguing there as far as PPR is concerned. And then you throw in his counterpart, Quinshon Judkins. He had a breakout as a true freshman to 1,500 yards, and he was dominating in Mississippi before he transferred over to the Buckeyes. And he's shown the ability to be able to hit the home run as well. Being that Henderson and Judkins were in the same backfield and were both successful, that did kind of limit the breakout, if you will, from either of them. But how are we feeling about these other running backs that are likely to be taken pretty high, all things considered, in rookie drafts between Omarion Hampton, Trevion Henderson, and Quinshon Judkins?
I love them, man. The team I'm watching for a guy like Hampton would be the Broncos. They did lose Javonta Williams to the Cowboys in free agency. I mean, McLaurin hasn't really seen it really came about yet. They got Audric Estime last year, but watch them. If you're watching their draft this year, this is a little tidbit. Mark this down. Message, whoever the Broncos draft at running back, that should be one of your targets. And guys like Hampton, you know, kind of fits that bill for sure. So Sean Payton is no stranger to having two backs. I mean, he's been a guy that had two backs finish top 10 in fantasy at one point. I do like Henderson. Definitely give you those Gibbs vibes and things like that. Judkins, another one. A lot of these guys, again, depends on where they fall.
Right.
Pittsburgh Steelers is another team I'll be paying attention to. Who do they draft? Everybody want to say this is Jaylen Warren's team on his own. I don't think so. I think another running back would be bought in.
I don't think Pittsburgh. So either. He hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy when it wasn't his team. So why would they put all their eggs in his basket?
Yeah. And there's some sleepers. I like to throw some sleepers out there, guys. Again, landing spots are so key. And as we move on during the season and after the draft, this thing is going to get a little more clear. But a few names. You got the kid Harvey. RJ Harvey is a guy I'm paying attention to. If you're digging real deep in your dynasty, Marcus Yarns is a guy I'm looking at as well, another sleeper. And I'm also, because I want to see where that kid, Cam Scatabo.
I was going to ask you about Scatabo.
I kind of want to see where he lands and see if it makes sense.
I can see him landing with the Cowboys.
Well, they just bought in two running backs, right?
Two backup running backs based on what they got paid.
I'll tell you another. I'm going to throw another one out there. So I told you, pay attention to the Broncos, right?
Mm-hmm.
I told you, pay attention to the Steelers. Pay attention to the 49ers as well. They just traded.
They're bringing another running back?
Yeah, absolutely. They just traded Jordan Mason. I think Garendo's a speedy guy. But again, we love running backs. McCaffrey shown he didn't finish last year, and that could be a thing as well. Garendo, hey, he was no stranger to injury himself. And Scat Boat is another guy that the 49ers, I'm telling you, like, just pay attention to see who they draft as well. I don't care if they take them in the fifth round.
They do like those Swiss Army knives.
Right. So pay attention to who they pick as well in this upcoming draft. And these will probably be some of your sleeper running backs as far as your dynasty leagues.
And let's wrap it up with a few wide receivers to speak on. You got your man T-Mac out of Arizona. is one of the wide receivers at the top of a lot of people's list. Emeka Ibuka is at the top of my list as far as fantasy is concerned. I kind of look at this guy as being a, depending on the situation he goes to and the style of offense that he's in, I think he can produce similarly to a Keenan Allen type of wide receiver. He's not going to be the guy that gets a whole bunch of touchdowns just based on where he catches the ball on the field, but his ability to catch in tight windows and run after the catch, I think will prove dividends in PPR. Think of him as what Jackson Smith and Jigba's breakout was, is what you're going to see from Ibuka, and probably earlier than you saw from JSN. That's kind of the way I'm looking at Ibuka. I'm kind of torn as far as T-Mac is concerned. As far as 6'5", 212 pounds, ran a 4.440. Theoretically, there isn't much more that you can ask. He does have an X wide receiver skill set. His route tree isn't going to be as impressive as several others, but what I do see in him is kind of that Mike Evans gene, where I don't really have to have all the routes. I can beat you on the routes that I run, and that's kind of all that matters. These are the first two guys that kind of come up for me in fantasy as far as wide receivers concerned. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about the two of them?
At Buka, I have a love-hate relationship with him. He's one of those guys you can get confused by it all. He's like he got all these records at Ohio State, but he never was the best wide receiver on the team at any point in his career. So go figure, right? He got a lot of these records due to longevity, being there and being on the field playing well, but he always been outshined by other guys. Not to take anything away from him, he's a good receiver, good special teams guy. It's all about the landing spot with him. I think he could do well in this league. Could be a great slot guy, but depends on where he goes. That's what it really all boils down to. Where is the guy going to land and who's going to be? Now, I was hoping the Commanders would have been a great spot for him to go to.
Agreed.
That would have been one of the best spots, and very well could still go, because Debo is essentially on a one-year deal. So look out for that. I haven't heard anything, but the Commanders draft a guy like Ibuka, now that could be very interesting moving forward. I would love him then at that point.
Not especially with having two other wide receivers that can pretty much clear out in the middle every time.
Yeah, that would be that'd be one of the better landing spots for him. As far as T-Mac, I'm not that big on him like most people. He's been kind of dipping in the draft. We hear the Mike Evans comparison. I'm thinking more like Roy Williams, if anybody remember the guy from Texas, right? No knock on him, man, but he still would be a first-round pick in the NFL draft. I think there's only two wide receivers that will be him and the kid out of Texas, Matthew Golden. I think those are the only probably two wide receivers you will see go in round one in your real NFL draft. Of course, in your dynasty leagues, these guys will probably be first-round picks as well. But the wide receiver this year is so deep. And you got some goodies. I'm talking about you got some. Man, this is one of the better classes I've seen as far as like how deep it stretches. And I'm going to give you a few guys that maybe you want to go do some research on them. But these guys, Jalen Royals, Utah State, A.J. Brownish, Debo-ish. I'm talking about rough rider, bully ball. I'm better. Like, don't sleep on this kid. This is one-on-ones. And if you're in a dynasty league, and, what I've been trying to do in my league is gather all the third-round picks I can find up. This is the least sexiest pick. I hate giving my gems out with this dude on the line, right? But the third-round picks are some of the least sexiest picks. Guys want to keep their first, want to keep their second. But thirds, they're more inclined to give them to you because of third-round picks. But this year, you're going to get some league winners and some guys moving forward to help you win in upcoming seasons in the third round. You got the kid, Jalen Royals, man. He models his game after A.J. Brown. Rough rider. Oh, Iowa State. Jaden Higgins. All right. I'm seeing Dynasty mock drafts, and this guy's not even getting drafted.
Yeah, he's 6'4", 217 pounds, 87 passes caught for close to 1,200 yards, 9 TDs this year. And he turned heads at the Senior Bowl and NFL Combine, where he ran a 4.47. So he's fast, had a 39-inch vertical, a 10.8 broad jump. So he can easily develop into a wide receiver one for an NFL team.
He's one of them ones. And his partner was on the other side of Iowa State, Jalen Noel, trying to tell you, slot monster. Hey, again, both of these guys haven't been being drafted. I've seen 3-round drafts, haven't been drafted. So
it's going to be interesting to see how some of these things work out, because there are going to be some wide receivers out there, talent-wise, that could be successful, but based on landing spot, won't have the opportunity to be successful.
Right. So, based on landing spot, some of these guys, you know what I'm saying? But Royals, Higgins, and Noel, those three dudes, man, keep your eyes open, and you don't have to, you know, in the early, you're going to see the McMillans, you're going to see the Luther Burdens, the Ebukas, and Trey Harris. You're going to see a lot of these guys go, but that's fine. The guys I'm telling you about.
How do you feel about Burden? The kid cool. out of
Missouri.
Missouri, yeah.
Yeah, he cool. He cool. But he's cool. But the guys I told you about, man, you definitely want to watch those guys a lot. But Luther Burden, he's pretty good. He's definitely in my top 10. Maybe my top 5. But we like Jalen Royals. We like Jaden Higgins. And we like the kid, Noel, also from Iowa State. So those guys are guys you really want to keep your eyes. And also, man, pay attention. I'm going to give you one last guy, Jake Beck out of TCU. Now, he's a wide receiver, listed as wide receiver, but he can very well be playing tight end on this next level. Let's see what team drafts him and see what they decide to do. Kind of Swiss Army knife-ish at that position. See what his landing spot is, and that's also a guy to keep your eyes open on, Jake Beck. I like him as well. He's in my top 10 as well.
And speaking of tight ends, you got guys like Tyler Warren. You got guys like Coastal Loveland out of Michigan and Penn State, respectively. And then if you're going a little bit deeper, you have a guy like Mason Taylor out of LSU, who with tight ends, it's kind of difficult to figure out who's going to do what early. And what I mean by that is, unless you come in as strictly a pass-catching tight end in an offense that is geared towards doing that and only that, it normally takes a couple of years for a tight end to get their footing. But these guys are guys that are pretty decent in the pass-catching game as well. So as they get their comeuppance, if you will, as far as blocking and those type schemes are concerned, they still become, you know, weapons for that quarterback, just, again, depending on landing spots. So any thoughts as we wrap it up on any of these tight ends?
No. Is Warren a bust? I mean,
okay.
At this point, I mean, we've seen how the tight end position looked this past season in fantasy, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty much, if you didn't have my kid Bowers, man, you didn't have nothing. I mean, and then you got guys like Zach Ertz, who went extremely late undrafted.
Jonnu Smith.
Saying that did well. So I think it's Warren, and then everybody else get in line. But again, I am interested to see if Beck gets the tight end. He plays tight end on this level, how good he can really be being a wide receiver. So,
and with that being said, it wraps it up for this show. We will be back next week, same day, same time. Make sure you subscribe. Follow, subscribe, or join the group as far as Facebook is concerned. And we'll kind of go from there. We'll get deeper into the weeds, if you will, and a lot more detail. This is kind of an overview for the rookies. Once we know where they're going to go, we'll have a much better picture and outlook for you there. Until we get to that point, though, we'll kind of go over what team needs are looking like and what they should be looking for as far as the draft is concerned. Also looking at a few coaching changes and things of that nature that may switch up a few scenarios for some players. But we will deep dive into all of that as we move forward. And remember, you guys, we always give you the guys that no one else is paying attention to. It doesn't do us a lick of good to tell you the guys that you already know to get. Either you're going to get them in the round that you can take them in, or they're going to be going, and it really isn't much in between there. But these guys that we're going to be talking about are guys that you can get mid, late round, and they're going to produce like or better than some of these guys that everyone is salivating over. So this is what we do. I can't even tell you how many championships we have between the two of us, but as it pertains to fantasy, you're in good hands. And you already know that if you aren't new. If you are new, welcome aboard. And yeah, hang on for the ride, because all we do around here is win. So remember, tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Subscribe, follow, so you can make sure you get your up-to-date information immediately. We'll see you guys next week. Y'all be easy.